The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good Friday morning and welcome to end of the week edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station, the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM 93.1 with yours truly, Neville James. It is a gorgeous day in paradise and it's going to be a great show, Power Hour. And of course, we're going to talk with the weather service. And we're also going to have a wrap up from last night's SOTU, better known as the State of the Union. Check. So stay tuned. Okay, Rocky Leibold coming in for Doc Sass at 9 o'clock. And our dog school as well. But in the meantime, we're going to talk with the weather service. Good morning. Who am I speaking with?
Gloria Devera. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. And yourself?
We're doing well. Doing well. Nice weather up here. How's it down in San Juan?
That's good to hear. Weather here in San Juan is perfect today.
It's going to be that way. We just found out from our meteorologist that it's going to be in the mid-80s. Same for San Juan, Culebra, Vieques?
Yes. Same for pretty much all the islands.
Any precipitation this weekend?
So we are not expecting precipitation across the islands this weekend. This weekend is going to be perfect. If people have activities planned outside, this is going to be the perfect weekend to do so.
Okay, that's good. Now, marine conditions look good. I'm looking at it right now. It looks good for the boaters and the beachgoers.
Yes, actually, we're having excellent conditions for mariners as well as the beachgoers. We're expecting seas to be to stay between 3 and 5 feet for the rest of the weekend. And we do have a moderate risk of rip currents along the northern beaches of St. Thomas and St. John and some parts of St. Croix. So we are expecting these conditions to persist until next week when a northerly swell is expected to arrive to our islands, deteriorating marine conditions by Monday.
So pretty much we're good to go for the weekend then.
Yes, this is going to be a perfect weekend for everybody.
Well, this is going to be the shortest conversation I've ever had with San Juan.
Yes.
thank you very much, and I appreciate that. Any small craft advisories, anything? Nothing at all?
No, we don't have any hazards at the moment.
Okay, no hazards, so everything is good.
Everything is good, yes.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the weekend. Nice talking to you.
Nice, likewise.
Okay, good. You got it. Yeah, that's how the weather service down there in San Juan. And all is good here in these parts. Perfect weather down here in Little Babylon. So, good to go. Kyle Fleming is in the house. And glad to have him here. I got a question to ask you. I want to know if you're Gen Z? Or you're right on the line?
I fall into the millennial.
He's a millennial?
Yeah, I fell into millennial.
What was it? So millennial is like 35, somewhere around that, 30?
I think that might be just about the cutoff. I think the cutoff might be like 90 or like 92.
90, 92.
Yeah, so I'm like just on the inside of that.
Yeah, so he said just on the inside. So then 93... come forward is Gen X, is Gen Z.
Gen Z. Yep.
Gen Z, okay, yep. Yeah. I the last year the baby boomers, 64.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, we had Gen X and Gen Y, right? That's what we had, right? X, yep. XY, millennials, Gen Z. That's what it got, right?
That's exactly
boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, millennials, Gen Z. Okay, good.
And right now... I think there's a new one now. I think there's like the Alphas. Something with an A. I heard it the other day.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man.
How mommy?
She's doing good. She's doing good? Very good. Yeah, that's good.
And how is your baby? The energy office, and then your stepchild, Wapa.
All babies are doing well.
hey, look, man. I was thinking about what we're going to talk about this morning. That old tech conversation that we had with Johnny Wimson that morning,
mm-hmm.
when he called in and all that stuff, I was thinking, either we or the territory has been a big beneficiary in recent years of work that the energy office and the Brian Roach administration has done in getting grants
mm-hmm.
for the territory. And the governor sat here right after you were here in January, and he echoed what you said, where our eligibility for X amount of money is like we've never seen before as it relates to energy,
mm-hmm.
right? We have talked a lot about alternative forms of energy. how real is it for, because we already committed to battery. Battery is a done deal, mm-hmm. right? And then solar came before that and all that stuff. What's the next one how can we stay with the curve or ahead of the curve and get our consciousness and educate the public as to what they should be looking at now? Because we don't know about solar and battery already.
Yeah, I think the...
What's the next one?
To be honest, I think that the width of the curve, I think, is really where we're still striving to be, because ultimately there's... While we see solar, and we talk about it a lot in terms of what's on the ground already, what's to come, but we still have a long way to go in terms of actually maximizing and fully and extracting all the value from that resource. And so I think that there's, while I know that the next new thing, certainly, I mean, I think there's a lot on that horizon. I could talk to some of the paths there, but I would say really our number one goal and effort at this point should be picking the lowest hanging fruit thoroughly, clearing all of those branches.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still, because it's not just about putting the solar on the ground that accomplishes that. It's really about essentially having the entire system be able to balance, the intermittency of solar, using storage to balance that out, being able to leverage solar, not just from large solar farms, but being able to leverage it from every single individual residential and commercial rooftop, and really create a balanced energy system on that, based around that renewable source. There's so much that we need to do to kind of fully maximize that. I wouldn't just jump so far and say, okay, we got to get what's next, because there's still so much that we got to do on the foundation. But when we do get to that point of what's next, my standpoint is really going to be that I think for us and for a lot of the smaller, essentially for any place that has an abundance of renewable energy, hydrogen is going to be the next target. Yeah,
okay, that's what you're talking about. That's the answer. You know what I mean? You could tell your father's a politician because you went a nice roundabout way to let you know that hydrogen will be the joint. So I like that. Hey, millennials. Millennials, 1981 to 1986.
Okay. So mid 90s.
Yeah. So you're there.
I'm in the middle of it.
You're there, right?
Yeah,
and then and 11 to 26 is the age for the Gen Z.
Mm.
Okay. So,
and then we gotta find out which one comes after the new ones.
Yeah. So as of 2023, the Gen Z age range is anywhere from 11 to 26. So we're gonna find out. We're going to find out in a little bit what in the one day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we're going to say that. They said the biggest difference, right, with millennials, right? Millennials expect an immediate customer service response, will spend more after a personal experience, more likely to switch to a competitor after a bad experience, and reports high exhaustion levels after customer service interactions. Gen Z. Right? Prefers self-service options, which is true, you know what I mean? Believes personalized experiences are not exclusive to premium brands. Spends more time researching before making a purchase, and less concern when it comes to data privacy.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned this, because, and I guess I got to give a quick shout to our division of personnel, because we did do at one of our recent cabinet meetings a couple months ago, we had a really interesting interaction where it was a lot of kind of trying to highlight the differences across the generations, and really more as it relates to, you know, coordinating and fostering productive work environments, knowing that you have a wide range of generations to consider within that space. So it was a really helpful exercise in kind of highlighting exactly those, some of the average, you know, disparities between the generations, and making sure you keep that into account when trying to coordinate human resources.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's the best thing.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. And maximizing their abilities and all that stuff. That's the most important thing. Now, this water deal that I had set up for folks who were living in impacted areas, it ended February?
I think the
WAPA voucher thing?
Kind of, yes. The end of February had a kind of a big push at the during the Ag Fair to get some more distribution out and stuff like that as well, too.
So the vouchers are no longer in play, or you could still use the voucher then?
I think you could, if you have them, you can still utilize them. I think they're just not distributing anymore.
Oh, they're not distributing anymore. Right. But the vouchers, you could still use the vouchers. We'll find out. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. If it's had, then it's still feasible. But if not, we could confirm that.
Just let me know and all that stuff. And Chanel, if you're listening, text the boss. I know that Andy Smith, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it right? Andy Smith is the management boss, but the real boss there in the studio is Martin. So, Michelle Peterson, anybody from WAPA, or Miss Sierra, Lynette, if you know about it, I'll find out. I know that February 19th was a cutoff date. I don't know if that was a distribution cutoff date or a no longer eligible.
Yeah, to be leveraged.
Yeah, to be used at the different stores. So
okay.
Find out and let me know. So, President spoke last night. President has been an unquestioned friend of the Virgin Islands. One of those rare situations where an insular possession, other than President Obama's relationship with Native Hawaii, mm-hmm. right? That's we bond, right? We're in a good position in terms of a leader, not only of the country, but of the free world, literally having a soft spot for us, right? And the Energy Department has been a big friend of the Virgin Islands in recent years. Politics, you know, it is what it is. That might no longer be the case come January next year, pursuant to what takes place in the election in November. So are we looking to amp up what we could get while the leadership is guaranteed? I would think that would be something that we would be looking at, right? I think the public would want to know that, want
I
to
mean,
hear that.
The thing is, not even are we looking at it, but even the the federal partners are prioritizing that as well. We've certainly had conversations where, you know, the push for certain programs or certain resources to be pursued is based solely on based heavily on the fact that there are unknowns at the end of the year. So while there's knowns around whether it be a very attractive financing available for energy projects in the mm-hmm. territory, whether it be maybe grants that have multiple years of eligibility to apply, you know, prioritizing applying this year to make sure that, you know, the foot's in the door before the door closes.
Mm-hmm. If it closes,
I should say if. Mm-hmm. And so not only is it something that we're looking at, but we're also seeing that the awareness from the federal partners as well to recognize that, look, while we have these assurances, be proactive. And so, yeah, so that's certainly happening. I mean, we've gone, you know, last year we sent a press release out at the end of the year. I mean, record application for federal funds. We're expecting, you know, we're continuing to get awards. We just got an award a couple weeks ago from the EPA for a planning grant. We have our big Solar for All grant, the $100 million from the EPA that we're expecting. Actually, there was an article that came out recently that there may be me moving up the timeline for that announcement. And that's another thing we're seeing too. You know, some of these grants, they didn't expect to have final decisions until the middle of the year, maybe June, July. They're talking about maybe getting announcements out in April. So you can even see a timeline from the federal side to make sure that not only are announcements made, but funds are available. So there's definitely a very proactive nature. There's a lot of unknowns come the end of this year. So I think that we're being prudent, and we are very clearly supported on the federal side to be prudent and whatever needs to be done to kind of facilitate that, which is good to see, good collaboration on both the local and federal front.
Well, I can break some news now on the show this morning. I heard back in December from my contacts that the WAPA requests through recovery monies for the Vital matter, I think that number is nine figures, 140 million, something like that, that the Energy Department is looking at that favorably as relates to what the Virgin Islands government want. Now, I know you're taking our time and trying to be mum, but we need to let the government, need to let the people know what's going on. And I heard that the Energy Department really stepped up and said, we might be better off doing this now instead of creating another situation in Puerto Rico with PREPA.
Mm-hmm.
So, without breaking confidentiality, because last week there was some bankruptcy hearings with respect, either last week or early this week, mm-hmm. in Puerto Rico with respect to PREPA. So, tell us, update the public, allay some fears, because this is good news, and I heard this over 60 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, so we certainly continue to wait patiently for kind of final decision being made. But it's been a very, so I'll say this, we haven't been left in the dark in terms of there's been ample communication across all the federal partners and kind of reviewers, if you will. Making sure that all information is available if there's any questions. So, you know, it's a very active and a very dynamic dialogue that continues to be the case. And I would tell you, if it wasn't as active, then there'd be reason for concern. But given the fact that the communication is consistent around, you know, advancing to a point of you know, final decision and hopeful favorable consideration, I can say that there's no angling of doubt at this point. I think it does. We've always known, you know, in December we extended the deadline for when the decision will be made to April. You know, giving some time. Knowing that these things,
so there is a timeline in place. And we're looking at sometime in the early spring.
Yeah, exactly. And that was based on assuming knowing that the administrative process of this decision making around, you know, the federal governments, this in this case HUD, having to, you know, review a very, you know, wide array of information relative to this project to approve this this grant. We knew that this wasn't going to be an overnight snap of the finger thing. So we're confident based off of the continued communication and review that we're going to get there. But again, we anticipated that it would be, you know, multiple months before that came to fruition.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to take a break now. I'm going to get into some of the details of what they were looking for, the PREPA plan and all that stuff. And not only that, but why it's important that all the islands in the region do well, because there is a ripple effect when your neighbor's struggling, because people will leave and come to your locale, mm-hmm. if things are better off where you're at than where they're at. You know what I'm saying?
I got an interesting point on that.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. That's what I'm talking about. So we'll take a break and come back. The power hour is in effect. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here. Analyzers, the power hour, like I said, is in effect. And I got my good friend Kyle Fleming joining me here this morning. So I got a dope about what's going on with Prepper, right? And by the way, and of course, you know, it's an NPR station, so I like to, you know, put on my professor hat and teacher and just enlighten the public. Chanel Peterson gonna be joining us. She should be calling right now.
Okay.
But they said the plan of adjustment, the Prepper plan of adjustment, will reduce more than $10 billion of total asserted claims by various creditors against Prepper, which is the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority, by almost 80% to the equivalent of $2.6 billion, including pension liabilities. And the plan would save Puerto Rico about $15 billion in principal and interest payments, reducing payments to creditors from about $20 billion to $5 billion. We're going to get back to that in a little bit because there's something I want the public to be aware of, in particular our younger leaders like yourself, in terms of the correlation between Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. Good morning, Chanel Peterson. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Your boss there, I was teasing Kyle Fleming to let you know that your management boss might be Andy Smith, but the true shot caller, the chairman of the governing board there in the house this morning, so have some manners, okay?
All right, you got it.
I want you to get in no trouble. So, we will talk, first of all, glad to have you on. How did Chicago go?
I won great.
I heard.
Very well attended, a great show.
Y'all got rave reviews, so take a bow. Congratulations, okay?
Thank you.
It was so nice, I had to go twice.
Oh, woo! And you had to rhyme about it, you know what I'm saying? It was so nice, you had to go twice, you know what I'm saying? So it's all good.
That's awesome.
Good. The deal that IO had making water coupons or vouchers available for those in the affected areas, the deadline already passed on February 19th, or that was the deadline for distribution?
The deadline was February 19th, and that was for actually turning them into the vendors. So, yes.
Okay.
That has ended.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Where are we now? What's the most recent update you've gotten? Have we done any post-January testing?
So we are still continuing to test. In fact, we're still encouraging residents to contact us, to reach out to us, because we are still looking for residents to do testing. And that's territory-wide. So whether in St. Thomas, St. John, Water Island, St. Croix, we are asking people to call in, to email, so that we can continue to test. We actually also recently posted our sample test results on our website, viwapa.vi/STX water.
Okay, good. Final question, because I don't want to keep you long. I know you're busy. Any personnel openings at the Water and Power Authority?
Absolutely. So we have many openings right now, actually in several different departments, including finance and accounting, in information technologies or IT. We're still looking for several engineers, both civil, mechanical, communications. Really, the list goes on. The executive office as well, we're looking for applicants. And they can always reach out to careers at viwapa.vi, or they can visit our website under career opportunities, and we have the full list. And again, that is territory-wide where we have several openings.
That's what I'm talking about. So we need engineers?
Yes, absolutely.
What kind of engineers are you looking for? Not just general engineers, right? What kind of engineers are you looking for?
No, so mechanical engineers, we're looking for civil engineers. I want to say there's a couple others. So both on the electric side and the water side, we are seeking engineers.
Okay, good thing. Because I did some research and I'm going to break that information here on the show in a little bit before I hand deliver the document to the governor. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to make sure that that's still the case, because I know based on what Adrian Williams Actelin told us back in 2020, the number for our need for engineers were in the hundreds as relates to the overall recovery, not just for WAPA. Territory-wide.
Absolutely. It is a great need. Department of Public Works, the Virginia Port Authority are all in need of engineers, which is why we really try to promote as well, you know, getting the youth encouraged with the engineering track with the Alva C. McFarland Scholarship that we offer on an annual basis.
By the way, that money is made via an appropriation, or that's a WAPA, in-house WAPA set aside? Because if that's the case, then you would need to go to, you should go to the legislature to get some financial support, right?
So the Alva C. McFarland is directly through WAPA, yes.
Directly through WAPA.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hesitate to call up on the legislature and see if they could, you know, put some supplement and make that award a little bit bigger. Yeah, that was a big that was a big target award for aspiring engineers coming out of high school back in the day. So that's just a suggestion. Okay, I can't really tell her what to do, but it's a suggestion. Okay.
But we appreciate the suggestion. And just to note, it's also for college students, so whether they're attending UVI or Virgin Islanders that have gone abroad, they are still also eligible to participate in the scholarship program.
Okay, good. Awesome. Ms. Peterson, thank you very much. Appreciate you joining in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it. That's right. Chanel Peterson from the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority. You got a good relationship with the communications director?
Yeah, very well.
Okay, that's good. So, the PREPA deal, right? One of the things that... And it's just a reality. I guess it's because, you know, we're not part of a grid and, you know, we got to develop our own. The two big issues in Puerto Rico happen to be the two big issues in St. Croix. I mean, in the Virgin Islands, I'm sorry. Electricity and pension, right? And you just heard what I read. You just heard what I read there, mm-hmm. right? I mean, for us, it's WAPA and the GRS, mm-hmm. right? You know what I'm saying? So that's just the reality. Good news, if in fact this plan, this adjustment plan is in place, but it did impact Puerto Rico because they had a situation where a lot of professionals were actually getting out of Dodge because, you know, they had the ability to do that.
Right.
That's the beauty of being educated. You can always get work if availables are open. A lot of them moved to Florida, Orlando in particular, right? So how do we avoid that? I mean, our fix is always from a financial standpoint, easier if we run into a lot of money, because it don't take much to fix our problem. Excuse me, with 100,000 people living here, 200 miles in total thereabout, include water and all that stuff, shoreline areas. How do we avoid that potential happening here, that negative potential happening here in the Virgin Islands?
Yeah, I mean, I guess
with the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah, I mean, moving forward, I mean, you know, what kind of what you talked about there from Puerto Rico side is like looking at doing that restructuring, right? That kind of debt restructuring to mm-hmm. be able to free up some of their cash. So it's a very similar tactic and path that, you know, we've discussed here from a strategic planning standpoint to be able to relieve some of the you know, the financial burdens. But I mean, I think the one thing that can never be, you know, simplified or too overly simplified is, despite all of the resources, you know, we still, you talk about people leaving, we still need, you know, executioners to be able to take the, you know, these resources and turn them into the game-changing projects that, you know, that we're looking to see the relief be made. So I think that it's always kind of a double-edged sword, right? Where the financial situation, unfortunately, has been consumed so much effort in trying to resolve. It at times can delay our ability and our productivity and efficiency on executing the next wave, really looking to the future, because we're so caught up in trying to deal with, you know, today, which is something that we've been talking with the, you know, from the board level, been very, very engaged with the, you know, with the management team and the entire team, really, is to try to understand, like, how we understanding the, you know, the financial challenges that need to be navigated, but making sure that we're not losing sight of the next chapter in the utilities, you know, evolution, that's very critical to being able to bring about so much of the change that we're talking about, or we've been talking about for years, because dealing with the financial situation of today really only deals with the moment. And as critical as that is, we have to make sure that there's enough effort also being put forward to make sure that we don't, you know, continue to stagnate and remain in kind of the same position, that we're actually, you know, pushing everything forward, not just more resiliency, but more efficiency, you know, being able to get the projects that we talk about, whether it be on the solar, you know, battery storage, you know, talking about wind, you know, getting to a position where we are, you know, rolling out, you know, the virtual power plants that leverage all of the distributed energy resources that currently exist and that are going to come in the future. That's from my standpoint, that's one of the things that we're trying to make sure from the board side that focus is still aligned, while we're also dealing the same way Pepper's dealing with the financial challenges of today by restructuring, you know, their debt, that we're doing two things at once, right? Like, you know, I guess Stacey Plaza would say walking and chewing gum at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to be doing that, because
she got that from me, you know. I got that from Barry, from a legislator back in the day. His name was Waxman, right? Remember when they were going after Barry Bonds, mm-hmm, for steroid use, right?
Oh yeah.
So Barry Bonds' lawyer was saying, they were having congressional hearings. So Barry Bonds' agent was saying, I ain't got nothing better to do than worry about this. And apparently, I think his name is Henry Waxman. He said, he answered it like in parts, bam, bam, bam. And he said, finally, I want his agent, his lawyer, to know that we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Oh, there you go.
No, I'm just teasing. That's an old slang. But he did say that, and I've been using that publicly ever since.
Well, correctly, I always like to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And Stacey and I go way back, you know what I mean? So we communicate. So I like that. Let me ask this question, right? I mentioned Director Williams Octolin. And I actually met her, right, the year I graduated from college. She graduated from high school that year, right, 87. So sorry, AJM, but the public know how old you know. So we've been friends now for about 37 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're close to it, because, you know, one of her best friends, that's my ace, Francis Benjamin, right? And so she came out here. The show started on a Monday. Not the first Friday. I believe it was the second Friday. She was on, and she, you know, startled me with that number. You know, when she said, you know, we've done the assessment and we need 600 engineers. I think that was the number she used at the time. I don't know, mm-hmm, if that number is, it might have been 60, but I think it was 600, right? Because the volume of the projects, right? And she also said that 30% of the $8 billion is energy related. No, that number has changed. It's no longer $8 billion, right? The number has gone up. But I think it's mostly other areas, right? Energy gap, a chunk of the new $7
million? Yeah, so I mean, yes, but there's been a lot of, with that, a lot of those, especially the projects that they kind of, the direct purview over,
mm-hmm,
a lot of those are the resiliency projects. So like the undergrounding, the, mm-hmm, composite pool, like, yeah, and those end up being
But those were a part of the 2.3 or 2.4 billion early on. So whatever percentage of the new 6 to 7 billion more, what areas we're looking at? Or is that because costs have gone up so much as a result of the pandemic and the supply chain issues that I go get a piece of that as well?
It's certainly a mix, but in terms of like the direct carve outs for, you know, and again, if she's touching on maybe kind of the swath of different funds that we've seen coming through. I mean, there's projects for energy across all these federal, but specifically for the new money that they got in, most of that is still on the energy infrastructure side of things. So
and waste management by extension is energy, right? In a way, right?
I mean, from a project coordination standpoint, yeah,
that's because what I mean.
Looking at a lot of those, especially with trying to consolidate the those efforts in terms of undergrounding, whether it be wastewater, electrical, water.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely falls into that bucket for sure.
Now, is there a Public Works WAPA Waste Management Agency task force as it relates to roads, man? Because one of my high school partner, he come back, moved back home, he's doing work in St. Thomas. I had to pick you up, drop you to the airport a couple of Saturdays ago. I'm sorry, man, but when I reached at the top of the hill there by Mumbi Joe, Kyle, you get on the top there, Loma Linda shop used to be right there. You go come to a full stop because WAPA did some road work there and all that stuff. Are you getting any kind of task force going on there? Because I know one of the issues over the years, and this for roads in St. Thomas and St. John, though, even though Eddie Bruce let me know that the road work that they did in St. John has held up well. One of the positions was we want to dig one time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The one dig deal, and that makes sense. And one entity might have money at a particular time and the next one don't have. Do we have a task force as it relates to infrastructure, rehabilitation or whatever it is? Because as it stands right now, the recovery is a 10, 12 year, maybe 15 year deal, mm-hmm. when you look at it. You check what I'm saying? And actually, the hurricanes actually helped Puerto Rico. Okay, we didn't bring up that point. That infusion of dollars because of the hurricane, because of Maria, helped them with that bankruptcy thing that they didn't wait because now you had dollars to rebuild.
Like, it definitely gives you options. But it
helped us as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I would say, one of the areas where you talk about that task force, I think where that's really been, where we're seeing that coordination, and that's actually key that you brought up, Director Ackland, Williams, because that's really where her wheelhouse has been in coordinating, amongst the many other things, but being able to successfully coordinate a lot of these similar scope of projects, especially in similar areas, and ensuring that instead of having them live in their own, silos of operation,
mm-hmm.
bringing them into bringing the WAPA projects, bringing the waste management projects, even bringing in like the VINGN projects as well. Under the same umbrella, so that way, it's not a matter of, hey, WAPA's good to go, waste management isn't good to go, or, Public Works is good to go, but, WAPA's not good to go. There's a lot more visibility across by essentially bringing the technical leads into the same room from the various departments, from the various agencies. There's a lot more visibility in the path. If, like, someone's falling behind on funding approval,
mm-hmm.
that can be made aware, so we can put a collective effort and collaborative effort on being able to address that. So, to your point, and I guess you've really kind of tied it together. Yes, there is certainly a task force.
Yo, I'm 60 on Sunday. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
I paid my dues. I'm saying I might be rocking breeze, but I'm up there. Yeah. But tying them together is important, man.
Yeah.
I know it is. And sharing information is really what it's all about, yep. because one agency should need to know when somebody gonna have it like that, so we could set aside and all that stuff. Question for you to cover from one of my listeners, one of my childhood friends. Ask him, what is the deal with getting a new connection for water at your residence? Okay? Now, I know you work for energy, right? But I'm sure you have a feel for what that deal is and all that stuff. So we're gonna take a break. When we come back, the power hour is in effect. I like to use in effect. That's right here. You know what I'm saying? We got Kyle Fleming here in the house. When you come back, we're going to find out what the deal is with respect to new connections for water at your residence. That means might be shifting from cistern to water and power and all that stuff. Okay, so take a break. Be back right after this.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here and analyze this. We got a power hour going on. We are actually reaching out to WAPA insider, the chairman. You know, he's a board man. So before he take a stab at it, I want to reach out to Chanel. And he actually texted Dan Gregoire as well. So homeboy, I ain't going to call your name. But homeboy, I just wanted to know that we're reaching out to the insiders, the best of the best, to get you the most accurate answer. With respect to that. The recovery allows for the Virgin Islands to create programs to bring our people, to bring, if we wanted to do like a mass engineering hiring, the recovery allows for that to happen?
Yeah, I mean, what you see, and this has become just consistent across the board, where the federal programs that we have access to, whether it be from recovery, whether it be the energy-related Inflation Reduction Act, you know, the carve-outs, they understand, the federal government understands, and this isn't just for the Virgin Islands, this is anywhere. You can't expand these project scopes, you know, to this exponential degree without also bolstering the workforce to support these projects. So
stop right there. I believe we have Chanel Peterson on the line once again. Good morning, Madam Director. Glad to have you on call.
Hi, good morning again.
You're like a doctor this morning. You know what I mean?
The baby
looking to come to the water bag bus. So we need you to come in and finish the delivery, if you know what I mean. So the question is as follows, and I'm going to break it down, right? It said to ask the man. So in this case, we're asking the woman, right? What is the deal with getting a new connection for water at your residence? How do you go about dealing with that?
So to getting a new connection, individuals should reach out to customer service at customer.service@viwapa.vi. That's their email address. And they can also call to get more information at 773-2250. And then lastly, on our website, we actually added digital form, so PDF form, so as well as a checklist, so they can go on our website as well, www.viwapa.vi, and we have the forms to add connection to their home.
Now, give me the website again,
www.viwapa.vi.
.vi. And this is not only for residential, this is commercial as well, right? It's the same protocol?
Absolutely. And we have both the commercial and the residential forms under the forms tab on our website.
Okay. And I got a follow-up question because, you know, they're listening, you know. Analysis got it like that in the morning time, right? So the concern is they say they know that, but they heard they're not installing new meters now. Do we have a infrastructure issue with respect to meters, to your knowledge?
So to my knowledge, we are adding additional meters, but they're based on the projects that they're working on right now. So example, one of the water rehabilitation projects that's currently underway is the Campo Rico project. And at the Campo Rico project, we recently extended that project to do exactly that, which is add additional homes that were not previously serviced by the authority. We just also kicked off the Hannah's Rest project, and so there is capacity within the Hannah's Rest project and for residences in that area to get WAPA's water.
Okay, so that means that there's finances don't be set aside for infrastructure, because if you want to bring on new people onto the system, that means you got to have meters and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. And the funding by the Environmental Protection Agency, which is through Department of Planning and Natural Resources, is providing those funds for these projects.
What kind of dollar figure? What's the big number figure there so the public will know?
EPA. So when we look at the overall island-wide, specifically to St. Croix, it's just at $1 billion. And right now, they are working on
that's the EPA money. That's included in the recovery money, or that's a different thing with EPA.
So the $1 billion is actually through FEMA, whereas our annual funds through the Environmental Protection Agency, those are that's not as significant because that's dispersed on an annual basis. Whereas through FEMA, that's a much larger project that right now has been approved for St. Croix, and they're working on for St. Thomas and St. John. Example, the EPA fund for St. Thomas is expanding out in country. And so they have funds there for additional customers in addition to the long-term plans that will be funded through FEMA.
That's what I'm talking about. Dr. Peterson, thank you very much for joining us this morning on call. We appreciate that.
You're so welcome. Thanks again for having me.
You're the information doctor. You're the information doctor this morning, okay? So I just want to make that clear. We want the medical doctors and the PhDs to get offended, okay? So we got the information doctor this morning. Chanel Peterson, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Bye-bye. So you were talking, we're talking about our understanding that personnel, right, is required when you're talking about that. A comprehensive recovery,
right,
like what we're dealing with now. We should have the ability, right, to tell FEMA, look, we want to, you know, enter into a project. For instance, if we got a need for 600 engineers, right, and we want to, we realize that folks are set up where they're at, so we want to go after college students coming out. We got leadership here. We got enough local engineers here to provide the leadership. FEMA, you think, would be receptive to us wanting to do something like that?
Yeah, I can't imagine a world where they wouldn't. Give a perfect example. For example, the Solar for All grant that we mentioned earlier, right? Mm-hmm. That $100 million. You know, with that came from the federal side. They actually baked in 20% of those funds. Up to 20% of those funds could be used for administrative purposes, which includes workforce, right? Mm-hmm. Understand that administrating. $100 million is you're going to need to put at least
so you could
request up to 20 mil for it. You don't need to, like, if, for example, if we were sitting in a place where we're like, look, we got the workers, we just need the projects to put them to work, we could go for, you know, be 100% on the project based for, you know, for that $100 million. And I use this more so as an example to say, like, that's kind of the common thread that we see here in terms of there is always a carve out event, like there's an anticipated carve out for this type of workforce development that's necessary, and also whether it be just the attraction side of things, to bring these type of projects to fruition.
I got some data here for you with civil engineer salaries and all that stuff, so I can break that down. But we got a caller on the line with a question. Good morning, caller. How are you? Welcome to Analyze This, the Power Hour.
Good morning. Thank you very much. This is Ben Kraft. I called in.
Ben, you called from St. Thomas. Yeah.
Yes, from St. Thomas, and I called in about the deposit that I had to pay to WAPA to get a new business started.
Mm-hmm.
And last March, I paid $4,800, Since then, my largest bill has been $285, and the average has been $127. And so I'm calling to find out who I need to contact to see about getting some kind of refund on that deposit, because that seems to be way out of line, and that difference is very important amount of money for a startup business to be able to be successful.
Director, that dollar thing, they seem out of whack there. The 4,800, they told you the 4,800 was for what?
Deposit. I had to pay that as a deposit to get the power turned on at the location.
But they have to have a formula. They just can't give you a fixed number at 4,800. I don't think. Did they come over and do some type of analysis and determine that your number was $4,800, or is your understanding that this is a fixed number?
No, they had my figure. I mean, they had my electrician to fill out a form, and based on the answers on that form, they came up with $4,800. But it's my understanding that that $4,800 is supposed to represent 2 months of electricity usage.
Director?
Yeah, I mean, again, with the limited kind of context had here, I guess the one thing I could say is, you know, the form that the electrician fills out is based off of it's a load sheet, right? So mm-hmm. they typically will go right in, and if you're in a commercial building that has, you know, let's say 20 mini split units, you know, each one of those can account for a certain amount of demand. Say you have, if it's a kitchen or a restaurant in there, you have, you know, an industrial fan or ventilation, you know, large refrigeration, like all of these, it's item by item, large power consumers are identified, and you know the potential demand mm-hmm. is quantified. In this situation, again,
that was out of whack in this situation. Because if they went to him and they said $4,800, right, is the down payment, and based on a 2 month deal, they calculated his deal at $2,400 a month, which to me seems exorbitant right on his face. That's number one. Right? Number two, I don't mean to cut you off. But number two, if in fact he's telling us now, and you're telling me, Mr. Kraft, that over the last 12 months, from April to March of last year to through February this year, on average, it's about $200 a month, thereabouts?
No, the average, the first bill I paid was May of last year, and on average since then to the most recent bill, the average is $127.
Oh, $127. So
The largest for any 1 month was $285.
Okay, so you're looking for a refund, or suppose they tell you we're gonna hold it and credit you until you use up your power for that amount. You can live with that?
I can live with that.
I'm just trying to be an answer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean,
a suggestion box.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality could be, I mean, a lot of different realities here, but I guess the one scenario, I guess the example I would use, because, you know, it could be very well, you could live, like, the based off of what's there and based off of what's actually being used, right? So the load calculation may have be based on what was in place or what could potentially be demanded, mm-hmm. but the current occupant, the current utilizer, isn't utilizing the space in the same way that maybe a prior, tenant was. So mm-hmm. you're not actually utilizing, even though you have all this equipment, you know, infrastructure, or whatever in place.
So what's the fix? What's the suggested fix? Let's say that they don't have something in place now. What would you suggest as a governing board member for the water and power to do from a management standpoint to deal with a situation like Mr. Kraft's?
Well, see, it's difficult because here's the thing. At the end of the day, no one you can't really forecast what someone's going to be using or how someone's going to be using.
But we have power. We have tangible 10 month data right now, though. So let's use the data what we got. Let's say $130 a month, and the man pay $4,800. He ain't gonna run up. He ain't gonna get to $4,800 until 2026.
Yeah, but see,
2025.
But see, but it's not so much of a.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If things remain linear for the most part, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I won't get in. I won't try to speak to the semantics of the installation or the interconnection, you know, down payment in terms mm-hmm. of how that's, you know, whether or not that's, you know, the you're actually using that as a credit. Cause usually you have that mm-hmm. until you if you cancel your service or you transfer, that theoretically should be there to then for them to reclaim. Mm-hmm. It's not based off you use it up over time. It's a deposit that.
But we got a unique situation here. So what would you suggest Mr. Kraft do on Monday, given what we're talking about
today? Well, herein lies the problem from my standpoint, from a policy standpoint. This bill, for example, like we wouldn't know why this bill is, you know, 200, right? It could be the fact that they're not using a lot. It could be the fact that they're under construction, and you know, mm-hmm. now that we say, okay, based off, okay, your bill's been low for the last, because you're not utilizing the space fully.
Now next month you start using the space fully. I know you're not a governor, board, but I want you to remove your hat and take a management position now. What would you suggest for Mr. Kraft on Monday? Because we got 10 months of data. What they anticipated from a use standpoint, should he go in and ask them to come back out and check out what's going on or something like that?
I mean, I guess that could be the, you know, one strategy. What I would say is that energy use can change, right?
Mr. Kraft knows that. I know that.
Yeah.
So the disparity here from a monthly basis, right? If we use a monthly basis, and Mr. Kraft, I want you to work with me here as well, at $4,800. Yeah. That means that $400 a month for a year, right? 400 times 12 is 1,400, mm-hmm. right? He is telling you that he is using a third of that. That's why I believe this one is an extreme situation, Director. Mm-hmm. So that's why it needs some type of review, or we need to revisit. Well, what's the deal going on here? I would think just on the raw numbers on his face.
I mean, to be honest, I would probably, the one thing I would, if we were to look at anything from a management standpoint, it'd be, you know, looking at the actual, you know, the policy around what that interconnection, you know, rate mm-hmm. ends up being, right? Mm-hmm. Like in terms of what it's based off of.
Mm-hmm. What's the number for St. Thomas so we could give Mr. Kraft a number to call?
It would be customer service.
The same 773-2250?
Yeah, it'd be customer service. They'd be able to direct them.
Mr. Kraft, call a number. Tell them you need to come in to review the situation, because clearly something was out of whack with respect to what they, you know, determined based on what the electrician provided for them. And then feel free to call me back and let me know what the deal was. I'd appreciate that. These are the type of things that we want to clarify and actually make better for the territory. Okay?
Okay. Thank you both very much.
You got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the reason why we need this type of discussion is because I'm sure the situation is similar to his, but maybe not as extreme. Now, we're talking about engineers. Entry salary, this is civil, $74,330. Median salary, $89,940. And top end, $117,540. This is America. Now, down here, you know, we go factor in a cost of living and all that stuff. If we wanted to recruit people and all that stuff. So you're saying that FEMA and the government understands that when we're talking of long-term projects like this, from an administrative standpoint, that they would be sensitive to the realities that we're dealing with as a raise of costs and right. salary.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's what I want to hear. Check this out. I don't want you to leave yet. I want you for about 10, 15 minutes of the night, of the power
well,
of
the second hour
because yeah. I want young people, young professional perspective included in that discussion because we're going to do the the table talk, the recap from last night.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I want you to do me a favor. Me and Rani and Ducks and Rocky, we's generation done. that's our nickname. Taking a break, be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTGX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands. once the highest paid actress in America.
Goodness, what beautiful diamond. Goodness has nothing to do with it, Jerry.
Meet writer-producer seductress Mae West. She was a girl who lost her reputation.
Bad girl.
You'll find out.
And never missed it.
I'm no angel.
The glamour of 1930s Hollywood depended a lot on Mae West.
Come up and see me sometime.
Come here and see Mae West, Dirty Blonde.
Are you in town for good?
I expect to be here, but not for good.
On American Masters.
Tune in March 11th at 10 p.m. on WTJX-TV Channel 12.